إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of khutab on lessons from Surah Al-Luqman, advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shared with us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand that and to practice it. Because I keep reminding myself and you all the time, Islam is the name of a practice. It is not the name of a theory, it's not the name of a philosophy, it is not the name of a theology even. It's the name of a practice. And like all practices, knowing about it does not help. Practicing it helps. So if you know about judo, you might be the greatest expert in the world on judo. In terms of knowledge about judo, you may have written 25 books on judo, but when it comes to actually fighting against somebody who attacks you, you do not know judo. And your books might be useful if you throw them at his head, but other than that, there is no point of those books. This does not mean that I'm not saying don't read, don't write. Of course, you must do all that, but for a practice, for it to show an effect, it has to be actually done. Same thing applies to medicines. For example, if you have some ailment, may Allah keep you free from all ailments, physically, mentally and spiritually. But if you have an ailment, having the medicine in your hand does not help, reading the label on the bottle does not help, and knowing about the cure does not help. You actually have to take the medicine. It's only if you take the medicine, then the effect of the medicine will show itself. And the same thing applies as far as Islam is concerned. So I think this is something which is important for us to keep on reiterating and reminding ourselves, and to see how we can change our lives in terms of practice. The beauty of good advice is that it is simple and easy to recall and concise. What better advice than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned in his book? If the entire advice of Luqman alayhi salam is to be collected in one word, this word would be accountability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the surah, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, Bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Ya bunayya innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardalin فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِي بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Ayat must be reflected upon, and the first thing that comes to mind and emphasizes and impresses us is the glory and majesty of the address of this ayah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son, who said, O my son, if there is anything equal, even equal to the weight of a grain of mustard seed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used the example of any kind of seed, but if you know mustard seed, it is very, very small. Very small. So he says, even if there is anything equal to the weight of a grain of mustard seed, and though this is inside a rock. This mustard seed also is not visible somewhere. It's not on a table. It's not even on a rock. It is inside the rock. Even if it is in the rock, or anywhere in the heavens, or anywhere in the earth. If it is in the bottom of the ocean, if it is floating in space somewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it forth. Now see the majesty of this address. See the scope of this address. Something that is as minute as a grain of a mustard seed. If it is anywhere in the heavens, anywhere in the universe, or anywhere on earth, under a mountain, inside a mountain, bottom of the ocean, you can imagine multiple possibilities. And even if it is inside a rock, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it forth. Point to note, he's not saying Allah can do it. No, can do it refers to capability. He can do it, but he may do it, he may not do it. He's not saying can do it, he says will do it. So it is capability plus irada, plus the decision to do it. Allah will bring it forth, which means that it will become visible. And verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, latifun khabir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subtle, latif, is aware of the minutest thing in that context, and khabir, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very well aware of where that thing is and of being able to do that. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as saying that if any of you performs a deed, he does something inside a solid rock which has no door or hole, those deeds, his deeds, whatever they are, will come out to the public. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make those deeds public, even if you do them inside a rock, completely sealed, even then you will not be able to hide them. Imagine what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. And the other day I mentioned the nazam which, on which Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi wept so much that his students thought he will die with the weeping. And the first line of that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, how can you do something which you hide from the people? It says, what if Allah asks me, how did you do this, hiding it from people, what you had no shame showing it to me? Imagine, what if we ask this question? May Allah save us from ourselves. My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, this is the essence of all the advice of Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam, and the fundamental core of our belief, which is the accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything we say or do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned in the surah which we recite so many times, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever does good equal to the weight of an atom, zarra. Now, zarra has been explained in many different ways. Somebody says maybe like a small ant or something like this, but zarra is much smaller than an ant. Allah said, yara. Allah did not say you will be told about it, you will read it. You will see it. You will see it. Whoever does good equal to a zarra, equal to the weight of an atom, equal to somebody, and we are saying atom because that is the smallest particle we know, but you can, you know, use your imagination, go to smaller particles than that, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, the good which is equal to the smallest possible particle that we know of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will see it. And so also the evil. Whatever evil, whatever bad you do, equal to the smallest particle that you can imagine, you will see it. In our world today, this is easy to visualize because our gadgets do it all the time. We measure and record everything, or we can measure and record everything, from heartbeat to breathing to pulse to footsteps to location to voice and action and a lot more. We record data, we preserve these records, and we use these records to compare with standards and with peer groups. And that's how we get all our statistics. I'm talking about statistics which are reliable, because we need to be very careful with regard to statistics. I sent out an article, a Life Hacker article this morning, which is very interesting. In the words of Disraeli says there are three kinds of lies. There are lies, there are damned lies, and there are statistics. So we have to be careful of understanding what is the meaning of statistics. Today people are very free with bandying about numbers. 80% of this, 90% of that. What is the meaning of that? I mean, what is 90%? Is it 90% or 95% of Muslims do not pray five salat by jama'ah? Right? So, I mean, I agree if you say the majority of them don't, maybe they don't, but where is this 95% of what? Where did you get the 95% from? What statistics is this? 95% of Muslims, you are talking about global, you actually did a survey, reliable survey with with comparative data and so on. I mean, this is nonsense. I mean, these numbers are absolute rubbish. If somebody bandies about these numbers, 80%, 90%, just ignore it because it has absolutely no meaning, right? So, in this issue, we are saying that, however, we do have reliable statistics about various things, and this is science by itself, and it is done very well. So, we do all this. Our biometrics, for example, helps us to recognize people based on fingerprints from retina scans, blood groups, DNA pictures, and so on and so forth. We do carbon dating to assess the or gauge the age of something going back to thousands of years. You say by carbon dating, you can say that this fossil is 10,000 years old, right? So we have all this technology today in our hands. So what is to say about today we can do all this? What is to say about what we will be able to do maybe 100 years down the road, maybe 1,000 years down the road? Although having said that, I must say that the rate at which we are going, I don't think we will last for another 100 years or 1,000 years. But anyway, bismillah ta'ala, whatever. What looks more likely is that 1,000 years from now, somebody else will commandate us to see how people who claim to have so much knowledge were so stupid that they never used it and they destroyed themselves. So I think this is important. But point I want to make here is that things like this, which were in the alamul ghaib for the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, are no longer in the ghaib for us. These are in our alamul shahada. We know this. We absolutely know this. These are not things which are, I can say that I can sit here and watch what is happening in America real time in a particular room because we know, internet and cameras and so on, and people do this. They put cameras to monitor how babysitters are dealing with their children in the house, and sitting there on your phone, you can watch what's happening 10,000 miles away. All of this is now real time for us, and it's not a mystery. But for the Sahaba, this was in actually the ghaib. So my point is that if we ourselves, biiznillahi ta'ala, thanks to the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, if today we are able to do all of this, then how difficult is it to remember and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us and our technology, He can do it, He can do it, and He promised to do it. So accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that is or should be difficult to understand. Now, let me remind you and myself about something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that our deeds will be weighed. He did not say that they will be counted. So it is quality, not number, which is important. And He said that we will be shown those deeds, not told about them. In some other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, Allah will tell you what you used to do. So, but in this particular, in the ayat which I recited, Allah said, you will see those deeds. And this showing will be in public, except for the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to spare this public humiliation. Quality, not count. Weight, not number. Today we are deficient in both. May Allah protect us. We neither have the count nor the quality. Illa mashallah. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi mentioned the nature of salah. He did not mention how many rakat you pray or how many times you pray or how many nawafil. He mentioned the nature, the quality of salah when he was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam to describe what is al-ihsan. And he said, what is al-ihsan? أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَكْ. He said to pray as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And though you cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that He Jalla Jalaluhu sees you. Now notice, He did not say, believe that Allah can see you. He says, know that He sees you. In this hadith, He did not say, believe that Allah can see you. He said, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. And I remind myself that there is a world of difference between believing something and knowing it. And that's the difference between Iman and Yaqeen. Believing something conceptually and having total certainty in the fact that this will happen and will affect us fundamentally. That is the difference. To know whether we have yaqeen in the akhirah or merely iman, we only need to look at our own lives. Action is proof of belief. The one who truly believes acts. Look for action as proof of belief or lack of belief. Belief in the akhirah to the level of yaqeen is a fundamental pillar of Islam. And lack of belief in the akhirah is the stuff of kufr. As they said, It's my life. So let me choose how I want to spend it and what I want to see at the end of my life. Green gardens or a steak? Well done. Let me give you an example to illustrate the difference between Iman and Yaqeen. Imagine that you are going for a walk on a beach and there are these big mansions, sea-facing mansions all along. And you see that on every one of these mansions there is a board on the gate saying, beware of dog. Right? You would have seen this, beware of dog. So in terms of knowledge, the fact that there is a dog in that house, you know this. So if I ask you at that point in time, I say, well, this is a board here saying there is a dog in the house. Do you believe that? So what will you say? Yes, I believe that. I mean, I see the board. I mean, why will somebody tell a lie? And I've heard the dog barking and so on. So there is a board. So as far as Iman in that piece of information is concerned, your Iman is complete, mukammal. Now you continue with this perfect Iman along the road. And you come before one of these mansions. And you find that the gate is not completely closed, the gate is open, partially open. And as you come in front of that opening of the gate, you see the dog. And it's not a nice little pug or a Pomeranian, it's a massive Rottweiler. And the dog sees you, more importantly. And when the dog sees you, he sees food. So the dog stands up, and as soon as the dog stands up, you find, you discover that the dog is not even chained. And the dog now starts moving forward. Now, tell me, what has anything changed in you? The knowledge that there is a dog in this house, has that changed? It's not changed. It's still a dog, it's not a lion. So as far as your Iman in that dog is concerned, it's still the same Iman. But what has changed? What has changed is now this Iman became Yaqeen, because now you understand what is the meaning of dog. You understand what is the meaning of dog food, which is yourself. You understand that this is going to affect me directly right now. So what do? You start saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, because at least let me die with Iman, with the Kalima, you know. Action is proof of yaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why in the opening ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. The qualities of the muttaqun. Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fihi hudan lil muttaqin. Who are they? Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. People who have iman on al-ghaib. What is al-ghaib? Al-ghaib is the akhirah. Yes, Al-Ghaib is the day of judgment. Alladhina yu'minuna bil-Ghaib. But at the end of that next ayah, what did Allah said? Wa bil-Akhiratihum yuqinun. Allah did not say wa bil-Akhiratihum yuqinun. Allah said wa bil-Akhiratihum yuqinun. They have yaqeen on the Akhirah. Now think about this. Allah already mentioned the Akhirah. He already mentioned the fact that the primary quality is to have Iman in the Akhirah. What is the need to say the same thing again using a different word if the meaning was the same? There's no need. So what does it tell you? It tells you that there is a difference, and there is a world of difference between Iman and Yaqeen. وَبِالْ آخِرَتِهُمْ يُقِنُونَ is a shart of Iman. How much Iman? Total Yaqeen. What is the proof of that? Action. Somebody who has Yaqeen in the Akhirah, who has yaqeen that something will happen, will take steps to ensure that they benefit and that they do not, and that they are not harmed. Many of us have heard this very nice little story. I don't know if it's true or not, but maybe it is, but it's a good illustrative story of people in some city which had drought and, you know, very hot and so on and so on, and they decide to go for Salatul Istisqa, and they are all going out to the Maidan to pray. And there is a little girl who is also going there with her father, and she's got an umbrella. Nobody's got it. It's a bright, hot, terrible summer day, but this girl is carrying an umbrella. So somebody asked the girl, why are you carrying an umbrella? She said, are we not making dua for rain?
So I should carry an umbrella. I mean, how are you asking? You're making dua for rain and you have no faith it will happen. So you're not protecting yourself against the rain. But this girl says, you're making dua, so it has to happen. So I'm taking my umbrella. I don't want to get wet. That is the issue of yaqeen. The issue of yaqeen is, if you have yaqeen, if I have yaqeen, it will be visible in my actions. If I am telling you I have yaqeen in the akhirah, if I am telling you I have yaqeen that I will stand before my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, and there, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ, this I have yaqeen. This is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, in which there is la rayba fi, there is no doubt in this. Then you should be able to see, and I should be able to see, the actions in my life which support the statement that I have this yaqeen. If you don't see those actions, and if you see that I am lying and cheating and I am deceiving people and I am taking away somebody's haqq and I am torturing someone and I am murdering someone and I am slandering someone and I am doing ghibat of someone and so on, then you have a right to ask me, and you should ask me. And you say, Shaykh, what is this? You say you have yaqeen standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at your actions. Does someone with yaqeen in Allah slander somebody? You are slandering people, you are doing this, you are killing somebody. You should ask me. I'm not talking about things we do without knowledge or mistakes we make because we forget and so on. Allah inshallah will forgive us, and we ask for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But deliberately doing something wrong, knowing it is wrong. How many Muslims do not know that alcohol is haram? So can you say that Muslims don't drink alcohol? How many people know that dealing in interest is haram? So can we say that dealing in interest Muslims do not do? How many Muslims know that lying is haram? How many of us can say that we don't tell lies? Seriously, my brothers and sisters, it's not a great, rocket science. This is absolute fundamental basics. And remember, for anything, whether it's building a house or it's any kind of learning, including Islam, until you get the fundamentals right, nothing else will work. Nothing else will work. The platform on which your software runs has to be perfect. If you've got a problem with the OS, with the operating software, nothing else will work on that machine, because everything runs on that platform. If the platform is corrupted, nothing else will work. So you can install and reinstall all the software in the world. If your operating system is not functioning properly, nothing else will work. And our operating system is this accountability in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, in the meeting with Him. This is the operating system of the Muslim. What is the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? It is yaqeen that one day I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that day, the only one who will help me is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. Nobody else. No one else illa masha'Allah will be able to speak before Allah. Nobody else illa masha'Allah will be able to do any intercedence, any shifarish, any shafa'at before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows and permits. This is the fundamental operating system on which this whole deen of ours runs. And as long as we stay with that, inshallah, we don't need anything else. This issue of resurrection, this issue of being brought back to life was not an issue which was only with the polytheistic Arabs at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Arabs at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quraysh and others, we have the stories of the seerah. I'm not going into details of that, but they said, we believe in Allah, no problem. Right? Because in any case, for them, they had the word Allah, and they believed in a kind of head god. So they said, there's no, believing in Allah, ilaha illallah is okay, no problem. But he said, how is it that we will be resurrected and we will come back to life again after we have died and we have become disintegrated and we have become one with the dust? So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Al-Sajda? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالُوا وَإِذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they say, they are asking this question, when we are dead and we have been lost in the earth, how is it that we will be reincarnated? How is it that we will be recreated anew? بَلْهُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, they are denying the meeting with their Rabb. Yes, it will happen. And the ones who say that are denying the meeting with their Rabb. And then see the glory and majesty of the kalam. I always keep saying this again and again because I talk to myself. A sign of insanity. Talk to yourself. Reflect even before the meaning of what you are reading. Reflect on the address. Who but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can say something with this level of authority? I mentioned a story, I think, some time ago. There was a friend of ours in the US. We had just been in Jamaat. We had come back and we were in the Tabligh Masjid, Masjid al-Falah in Queens. But this white guy, he had become Muslim. And he had blonde hair, you know, shoulder length. So he used to look like the pictures of Jesus Christ, which they put, so we used to call him Jesus Christ. Because his face was there. So anyway, a wonderful brother, very, very beautiful. Now, so we were sitting and talking, and I always ask people, you know, who revert, how did you come to Islam? What happened? Because Alhamdulillah, I was born in Islam. And Alhamdulillah, I was born in Islam, because if I wasn't born in Islam, Allah knows what, where I would be. So, but with these people, Allah has given them hidayat. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I asked him, I said, how did you come to Islam? Now, this guy tells me, he was in Maine. Now, Maine is the boondocks. Maine is the back of beyond. In the US, very, very beautiful country, but it's full of forests. And this is the time to go to Maine, because in September, October, November, this time, it's called fall, it's the autumn time, and it's like somebody has thrown cans of paint. The leaves, before they fall, they change color, and you must see, subhanAllah. Ajeeb. If you painted a painting like that, you would say, no, this is, guy is exaggerating, how can it be like this? But I've seen this, wallah. It's like you've thrown cans of paint, you know, from all shades of orange and yellow and... So in Maine, there's a little town, and in the little town is a seminary, it's a Christian madrasa, where this guy was a student there, he was trained to be a priest. And he said that people gave him, part of his class assignment was, he was given a copy of the Quran, English translation, and he was told to find fault in it. So this is part of his thesis. So he said, I was reading, trying to find fault in it. And one day, he said, in the middle of the night, it struck me that this cannot be anyone other than God. Nobody can write this other than God. The man doesn't know Arabic. He's reading English translations. He says, nobody can say this except God, except Allah. So, I said, then what did you do? He said, I said that I have to become Muslim. So, he said, I was already Muslim. I mean, I believe this now. So, I was Muslim. But I wanted to go to masjid and, you know, accept Islam formally. So, I said, where is the masjid in Maine? He said, there's no masjid in Maine. The whole state, there's no masjid. So, what did you do? He said, I drove to Boston. In the middle of the night, this guy alone, he's driving all the way from Maine, all the way to Boston. So I said, did you know a masjid in Boston? He said, no. So then what? He said, I trusted Allah to take me to the masjid. And as he reaches Boston, it's time for Salatul Fajr, he's fighting some Muslims going for Salah. He follows them, goes to the masjid, and he accepts Islam. Again on the hand of a very dear friend of mine, Sheikh Abdul Mahdi. African-American guy who is the Imam of the Masjid. So, after the story, I told him, I said, okay, so you read the Quran and you said this is the word of God. How did you come to this conclusion? What is it that struck you? And I thought he will tell me, you know, this ayat or this scientific proof of
embryology or this ayat about the isostasy of mountains or the usual stuff that we like to talk about. I thought he was going to tell me that. You know what he said to me? He said the majesty of the address. Huh? He said the majesty of the address. He said the tone of command. He said nobody but God can say that. He said nobody but Allah can talk like this. He said no book. He said I've read the Bible. I'm a priest. He said no human being can say it the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. So see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. After saying, وَقَالُوا وَإِذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّا لَفِي قَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. And then see the majesty of the command. The majesty of the address. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِذَا رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Say to them, they will die. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. You will die. مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ. Malakul Maut has been set upon you. ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. And you will be brought back to your Rabb. There is not an iota of doubt in this. See the majesty of the command. Who can say Malakul Maut has been set upon you except the one who set Malakul Maut upon us? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us by describing the scene of the day of judgment. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did use the word mujrimin. He did not say mushrikeen. He did not say kuffar. Mujrimin. Who is a mujrim? The one who does something unknowingly, or the one who does something knowingly? Who is a mujrim? Who starts off by saying, I don't even believe in this. I don't believe in Allah. He is a mujrim because he denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But who is a mujrim who said, La ilaha illallah. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I choose to disobey him. Hey? Why is it that the ayat which came in Surah Tawbah, promising azab for the munafiqeen, did not come promising azab for the mushrikeen of Makkah? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat when Abdullah ibn Salul, Ubay bin Salul, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, when Ubay bin Salul, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul was his son, who was a sahabi, when Ubay bin Salul died, the chief of the munafiqeen, who was Ubay bin Salul? A man who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. A man who prayed salat behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. A man who died apparently on Islam. A man who was given the thobe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his coffin to be buried on the request of his son Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul. But Allah revealed the ayat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, even if you ask forgiveness for this man, Ya Rasulullah, even if you ask forgiveness for him 70 marra, 70 times Allah will not forgive him. Allah did not reveal this ayat about Abu Jahl. Allah did not reveal this ayat about Abu Lahab. Allah did not reveal this ayat about any of the mushrikeen of Makkah. Other ayat were revealed about them. But Allah did not say that he will not forgive even if you ask forgiveness 70 times. Allah revealed this ayat for Ubay bin Salul and for the munafiqun. Why? Because they claim to be Muslim. And then they try to harm the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They claim to be Muslim and then they worked against Islam.
They claimed to be Muslim and then they did what was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had declared to be haram. I ask Allah to save us from being among those who will be held responsible on the day of judgment because we say we are Muslim. If we say we are Muslim, we have to act like Muslims. If we say we are Muslim, we have to behave like Muslims. If we say we are Muslim, we have to follow Islam. Not just talk about Islam. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُءُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا بُصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَارْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my Nabi, you will see them on the day of judgment, where they will stand before their Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, and they will say, they will stand with their heads hanging in shame. And they will say, Rabbana absarna wa sami'na. O our Rabb, we have seen and we have heard. Farji'na, send us back into the dunya. Send us back into our previous life. Na'mal salihan inna muqinun. If you do that, we will do good deeds. And we will be among the people who are pious and obedient. But my brothers and sisters, there is only a one-way door. Opens only in one direction. So what will these people when they say, Samayana, when they say, Absarna wa samayana, we have seen and we have heard. What will they see? What would they have seen and what would they have heard? They would have seen what we will see. And they would have heard what we will hear. Every single one of us today who walks the earth will die. And we'll see this. And what will they see? They will see our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu on his arsh. They will see the arsh being held up by 8 malaika, the hamalin arsh. They will see the malaika making tawaf of the arsh and singing and praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will see the malaika on the day of judgment, saffan saffa, row upon row upon row, angels beyond count. They will see the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, which is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create special angels, 8 instead of 4, to hold the arsh up. And even they will not be able to do that until they say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They will see the mizan and they will see people running around saying, Nafsi, nafsi, me, me, me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day to place us under the shade of his arsh, on a day when there will be no shade except his shade. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to protect us with his rahmah and to protect us with his forgiveness. We ask Allah jalla jalaluhu to cover ourselves with his rahmah and not to expose us and not to humiliate us before the public. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of his mercy and his forgiveness, the way he protected us when we committed the sins, even though we had no shame in hiding them from Allah, we still committed them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his mercy did not expose us to the public. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to extend his mercy on the day of judgment and still not expose us to the public. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq not to commit the sins and to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do not do anything which is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or disobedience of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمن الرحيم.